We are in our new sermon series. We started last week. We're looking at our finances. We're looking at the ABCs of money. And believe it or not, God cares about our finances. You know, as we're looking at this sermon series, I want you to know that our giving, our stewardship, our giving God our best and first fruits, It is marinated in the gospel. The foundation of our stewardship and why we give is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he died. He died and he paid the debt that we owed for our sin. And when he paid that debt, and when we believe in what he has done for us, the Bible says that we are delivered, we are forgiven of that debt for all eternity. And so the heartbeat of giving, of stewardship, is the foundation is the gospel of Jesus. Jesus wants us to be free. You know, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave us the freedom to choose. He gave them the freedom to just live and enjoy all of God's creation. But he gave them a choice. I mean, you can have everything that's available to you in this garden, but one thing that you can't have is this tree of good and evil. You can't eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And that's exactly where Adam and Eve went to. And they disobeyed. But from the beginning, God wanted to give us freedom. And when it comes to freedom of choice and freedom to live our life for him, it's in every area of our life. You have in your outline this morning, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And that yoke of slavery is not just sin, but it's in regard to our finances as well. God doesn't want us to be under the crushing burden of debt. He wants you and I to be free. And this crushing burden of debt is destroying relationships. It's destroying marriages. It's destroying children. It's destroying our kids. It's destroying our country. Our country is swimming in trillions of dollars of debt. Someone said that the wedding vows have been changed from "till death do us part" to "debt do us part." That may be true. I don't know. There was a mom and dad whose son was going off to college, and they were concerned about his future and God providing for his needs, and they gave him a Bible, and they encouraged their son, "Son, when you're going through hard times, we want you to read God's word. You can trust God's word." Well, a few months later, their son called, and he was in a little bit of financial difficulty, and Mom and dad said, "Well, son, have you read the Bible?" And he said, "No, I haven't read that Bible yet." And he said, "Well, read the Bible. You can trust God." And that's all they did. A few weeks later, the same phone call. "Mom, Dad, I really need some money." Well, Mom and dad said, "Well, have you read the Bible?" "No, I haven't." "Well, read the Bible. You can trust God's word." There were several conversations like this, and each conversation the son got more and more bitter. Well, it was Christmas time now, and he had a conversation with parents, and he said, well, how come you didn't help me? I'd have some need for some money. And they asked, well, son, did you read the Bible? Said, no, I didn't read the money. I just needed your help. And mom and dad said, well, son, if you had done what we had told you to have done, you would have found some money that we had stuck in your Bible. Reading God's Word is critical. Not just reading it, but knowing it, living our life upon its foundation. And so many Americans aren't reading God's Word. The average American owes $16,000 on a credit card. The average American. 4 out of 5 Americans owe more than they own. Americans combine, now this is credit card debt, mortgages, everything. Americans combine owe $11.9 trillion. I have a picture of Pinocchio. You know, we all know the law of Pinocchio, don't we? You know, when Pinocchio lied, his nose grew a little bit longer, didn't it? And pretty soon it was rather obvious that Pinocchio had to make some adjustments. Well, you know, when it comes to the law of dieting, you know, it doesn't follow the law of Pinocchio, does it? You know, we can get away with a lot of things when it comes to eating habits over a period of time. But, you know, if our dieting followed the law of Pinocchio, and we saw an In-N-Out Burgers, and we went into In-N-Out Burgers, and we ordered our double-double, and that fries and large Coke, and we came out of In-N-Out 30 pounds heavier, oh, we would make some changes, wouldn't we? But it doesn't happen that way. Same thing's true with car maintenance, you know. You know, some of us will go 6, 7, 9, 10,000 miles before we change our oil. That was one thing my grandfather was always concerned about. You know, whenever I went off to college or whenever I was coming home, he would say, Billy, how's your oil? Have you changed your oil lately? But, you know, in car maintenance, if we knew that our car was going to be breaking down at 3,001 mile, we would be more diligent, wouldn't we, in having maintenance done with our car. Well, money doesn't follow the law of Pinocchio, does it? And we just keep charging and charging, and it's not God who's providing for our needs, but Visa and MasterCard are providing for our need. And then after a while, we find ourselves in deep debt. Maybe you can relate to the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. The widow saw Elisha, and she said this. The Bible says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now my creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Can you imagine the situation that this wife, this widow, is in? She's laying awake at night, knowing that she is going to lose her two boys because of the debt, the bondage that she finds herself in. Maybe it's not like that today, but maybe you're lying awake at night and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to pay the electric bill? Am I going to have gas in the morning? Or this or that bill? And you're exactly in the same situation that this lady is in. What are the indications that you are in bondage? Number one, there is deepening debt. Deepening debt. and you're continuing to be tempted as the debt grows. You know, how many of us have gotten those letters in the mail saying, congratulations for your pre-approved loan? You know, they have no idea who you are, but they think that you have excellent credit, and if you will go with them, you know what, this will solve all your problems. And they're wonderful letters that they write to you, and they make you feel so good about who you are. But, you know, as you read those letters, you'll never find these kinds of words in the body of those letters. Like deficit, indebtedness, liability, in hoc, in the hole, in the red, albatross, red ink, baggage, bankrupt, beggared, encumbered, ball and chain, cross, weight, worry, guilt, handicap, impediment, millstone, monkey on one's back. No, it's just all wonderful words that will convince you that they have the solution to your problems. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And for many who are in the bondage of debt, that indebtedness continues to increase. And the big issue is that we're investing, we're buying things that continue to depreciate. You know, we'll pay for vacations on a credit card. We'll pay for clothes. And we'll pay for all the things that we think we need to have. And they're all depreciating items. And our debt just gets worse. Now, there are a few things that it's okay to go in debt in that will have appreciation, most likely, maybe like a mortgage payment, or maybe your education. But we have to be careful. Even there, we can only purchase what we can afford. Speaking of mortgage, I want to mention to you this morning that as a church, we're going to be voting on the approval of a loan for the Hispanic church. The Hispanic church wants to buy a piece of property which is one block north of Holland & Lyons Mortuary. Holland & Lyons owns this facility a block from them. It used to be a mortuary. It had been a wedding chapel. But the Hispanic church wants to use this for a midweek ministry. They still want to use the worship center on Graff Street on Sundays, but they need a facility where they can do ministry throughout the week, and they are having difficulty doing that, sharing the property with the school, because the school is a closed campus. And so on the 14th of February, following the service, we're going to have a short business meeting. There's not going to be any Q&A at that point, and we're going to vote on the approval of this loan. But I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday night, February 10th at 7 o'clock, and we are going to have a Q&A in the multipurpose room right across the hall here. And but we have to decide on this as a church, because the Hispanic church is part of our church. They're not incorporated. They're part of us, a ministry of us. And so we would be assuming the loan, but the Hispanic church can afford the loan. We've already talked to Mission Bank, and they have the funds necessary to make the monthly payments. And this would be a good investment at this point, because this is, hopefully here in Ridgecrest, an appreciating item long term. All right? But you can be in prayer for that. But again, indications of Bondage is deepening debt. The second indication of bondage is delaying or making only the minimum payments. Only the minimum payments. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 8. The Bible says, let no debt remain outstanding. If you are using the credit card each month, you need to make sure as you use that credit card that you're able to pay that credit card off, whatever that you have purchased, that you're able to make in that monthly payment. And for some of you, you know, that's impossible. And the best advice that I could give to you as your pastor right now is some plastic surgery. I know some of you want to have some plastic surgery done sometime. Well, this is a great form of plastic surgery and going home and cutting up your credit card. If you're making the minimum payment on a credit card, you're in financial difficulty. Did you know, how long it would take to pay off a credit card that has a balance of $3,000 if you were just making the minimum payment on that credit card? How many would say 10 years? How many thinks it's 20 years or less? How many thinks it's 30 years or less? How many think it's 40 years or less? 37 years and 7 months. That's how long it would take to pay off that $3,000 card with a minimum payment. And then the third indication is that there is an absence of giving and savings. If you're unable to give or save, that is a good indication that you are in financial bondage. Look at Psalm chapter 37, verse 21. The Bible says, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. A lot of people can't give today because they bought for themselves things that they didn't need. You know, there's a lot of folks in our services this morning that you love Jesus. You want to give, but you can't afford to give because you are broke. God wants you and I to be financially free so that you and I can give, so that you and I can be generous, so that you and I can be like Him. We are no more like God than when we give. God gave His very best in His Son. And God wants us to be like Him and be generous to others. And so He wants you and I to experience financial freedom. So I want to share with you 3 freeing decisions. Just simple things that you can write down. Now, they're simple to write down, but they're not simple to practice. Okay? It's going to require hard work. It's going to require discipline. Just like it is for Susan and I in losing weight these days. Many of you have been very kind. Pastor, you are shrinking away. You're half the man you used to be. Well, you know, this didn't come by doing nothing. It's required having to say no to some things. It's required some exercise and discipline. It wasn't fun trying to lose weight during Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, but we had to say some no a lot. And when it comes to financial freedom and getting out of debt and bondage, guess what? You're going to have to say no a lot, but it's a lot better, friend, on the other side. And God wants you to experience that freedom. So what are the three freeing decisions? Number one, decide that you are done with debt. Decide that you are done with debt. Imagine for a moment what life would be like for you if there were no more credit cards to pay. You were free of those monthly bills. You were free of that furniture payment or that appliance payment. There were no more student loans. There was no more mortgage debt. Imagine the money, the funds that would be freed up. Life would be so much better, so less stressful. And God wants to help you get there. With God's help, you can be there. But it starts with a decision. It starts with plastic surgery and get rid of the things that have gotten you in trouble. The second freeing decision is you need to create a freedom plan. And I mentioned this briefly last week, which was the 10-10-80 plan. 10 stands for, the first 10 starts with God. You give God the first 10%. This is a biblical principle that isn't just the Old Testament, but it is throughout God's Word. Generosity, living according to God's principles, starts with 10%. And grace giving is beyond the 10%, but it starts with 10%. So the first 10 is pay God first. The second 10 is to pay yourself. Put 10% into savings for yourself. Going back to the first 10, look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It's in your outline this morning. The Living Bible says this. Honor the Lord. Let's get my glasses here. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley, and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. But it begins with giving God the first fruits. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14. Moses says this, you must tithe all of your crops every year. Bring this tithe to eat before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as his sanctuary. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn of all your flocks and herds. Okay, now most of us, we're not farmers around here. We don't have flocks and herds, but we do have livelihood. We do have income that God provides for our needs. He wants us to take that first 10% and give it back to him. Why does he want us to do this? Well, the Bible says, for the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. Tithing is a test. God wants to know, am I first or am I not? So the first 10, pay God. The second 10, pay yourself. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says, wealth from gambling quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows. God wants you to grow that second 10%. You know, and many of you who know how to save, you know the miracle of compound interest. Not only do you have the opportunity to grow what you put in there, but the interest that grows from that over time will just continue to work for you. God wants to bless you in this area of your life. So plan your budget to live on the 80. Not the 100, not the 90, but the 80. For food and transportation and housing and education. And then if there's anything left over at the end of the month, friends, you can go all the way to Trona and go to the one fast food place in Trona and live it up. What's the name of that place, Lori?
Trails.
Trails. You can go to Trails and have the time of your life. Now, you might be here and you're saying to yourself, but Pastor, I am in dire straits. I am strapped financially. Am I to live according to this rule right now? No. I want to point to you to what Dave Ramsey says about your situation. Now, the first 10, Dave Ramsey says, the first 10 belongs to God. This is what Dave Ramsey says. Number one, start by honoring God with the first 10. He says, the Bible does not mention anything about pausing tithing. Neither does it say that we will go to hell if we don't tithe. The tithe, which is a scriptural mandate, was not instituted for God's benefit because he already has all the money he needs. He owns it all. He doesn't need your money. So why does he ask us to give 10% back to him? Tithing was created for our benefit. It is to teach us how to keep God first in our lives and how to be unselfish people. Unselfish people make better husbands, wives, relatives, employees, employers. God is trying to teach us how to prosper over time. Many people have observed that after they stop tithing, their finances seem to get worse. In the book of Malachi, God promises that if you do not rob him of your tithing, he will rebuke your devourers and protect you. If you cannot live off 90% of your income, then you cannot live off of 100%. It doesn't require a miracle for you to get through the month. I think that if you sit down and look at your budget, you will see that you can make it while giving at least 10%. Read the Bible and take from it what you will. And if you tithe, do it out of love for God and not guilt. Jesus says, if you give, it will be given unto you. Now, this is the second thing Dave Ramsey says. Dave Ramsey says this, save $1,000 for an emergency fund. Okay, I was talking to a gentleman last week after service, and he said, save $3,000 for an emergency fund. Dave Ramsey says $1,000. And that $1,000 is there for emergencies. Instead of you having to use the credit card, you have that $1,000 emergency fund there that you can dip into to pay for things that you would normally put on the credit card. But then replenish that $1,000 emergency fund. That is the second thing that you need to do. First pay God and then establish this $1,000 emergency fund. And then the third thing that you do to, third freeing decision that Dave Ramsey talks about is snowball your debt. And what he means by that is this. Take all of your credit cards, make the minimum payment on all of your cards except for the smallest balance. Okay, and with the smallest balance, you take all the money you possibly can and begin to pay down that credit card. And when that credit card is paid down, then you go to the next smallest balance. And you take all those funds, making the minimum payment on the others, and just start paying down that credit card. And over time, you're going to have more and more money, dollars, to pay down your credit card debt. I like what Dave Ramsey has put here as a formula. It's called the momentum theorem. Okay? FI stands for focused intensity. Okay? You're focused on this. You're paying down each card one at a time. So focus intensity over time multiplied by God's power, God's ability, God's grace to help you say no to most things will equal momentum. And you know, I love momentum. I love it when I lose a pound. When I wake up, you know, on a morning and I have lost a pound or a pound and a half, you know what? That motivates me to keep going. And you know what? As you pay down your credit card bills, that's just going to give you more and more momentum, not energy, but enthusiasm, discipline to keep going. You will have momentum in your life. So this is what Dave Ramsey says about getting out of debt. And then the third freeing decision is this. Get God involved. Give God a line item in your budget. And give God the first line item. Don't let it be the line item, well, whatever's left over at the end of the month, that's what I'll give to God. No. It needs to be the first check you write to pay your bills. Scripture says it is the first fruits belong to me. God sets this principle in order, not to make our lives miserable, but He wants us to experience financial freedom in our lives. This is the only area of our life where God says, test me now in this. See if I won't come through for you. Malachi chapter 3 is, chapter 10 is the verse. You can look at it later. But he says, test me now in this. In other words, he's saying, go ahead. Make my day. We make his day when we are obedient. The quickest way for us to get out of debt is by doing it God's way. How did you get in debt? Did you get in debt by doing it God's way? No, we got in debt by living selfishly, by consuming everything that He has entrusted to us. That it all belonged to us. That's how we've gotten here. And God says, no, stop being selfish. Stop thinking that it all belongs to you. None of it belongs to us. We looked at that last week. He's made us managers. We are investors of what belongs to Him. Some of you have financial advisors. If you had given all your money to that financial advisor and that financial advisor thinks that, oh man, this is my money, $100,000. What can I do with $100,000? And so they go home and they put a pool in, they buy all these wonderful things for their home. Would that person continue to be your financial advisor? I don't think so. You would fire them. The Bible says we are managers, not owners of what He has entrusted to us. So, there's two questions I want to ask you as we conclude this morning. on the ABCs of money. First question is this. Are you robbing God? Are you robbing God? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 talks about those who aren't generous, who consume everything that they get, that you're robbing God. You might ask, well, how am I robbing God? Suppose you went to Costco and you were there to buy groceries, but while you were in Costco, you got a little distracted. You know, what do you see the first thing you walk into Costco? No, you see those big old honking TV screens, 75 inches, and you begin to think to yourself, oh man, I gotta have one of those. Now, you do come by the tires. Oh, I gotta have those tires. But, you know, all along the way, we get distracted by these things, and we gotta have this, and we gotta have that, and pretty soon we're walking out of Costco, and we got, you know, this, big flatbed thing. You know, we're thinking to ourselves, how am I going to get this into my car? But then second, you know, how am I going to pay for this? And we think to ourselves, oh, well, I'll take the money that I was going to give to the church and I'll pay for this. And when you make that decision, friend, the Bible says, you are robbing God. God wants to keep the devourer from your home. And the devourer comes in ways far more than just finances. But if we are faithful to His principle, Malachi says, God says through the prophet Malachi, I will keep the devourer from you. How many have ever been robbed before? How many have ever had a car stolen? Have you ever had a car stolen? Boy, it's obviously we live in Ridgecrest, don't we? You know, if I were asking that question somewhere in L.A., I've had a car stolen. You know, I was one day visiting my aunt down in near LAX. She was at a hotel one night. Susan and I, we were dating at that time, and we went and visited with her, came out, and my car was gone. Man, that was such a violating feeling, such a helpless feeling. How many have had something stolen in their house? Yeah, a few more of you. What a violating feeling, being robbed. Folks, when we're not practicing stewardship God's ways, the Bible says we are robbing Him. And so that's the first question. Are you robbing God? And the second is this. Will you start practicing stewardship God's way? And it sounds so crazy. It sounds so counterintuitive. You know, you're thinking to yourself, well, I won't tithe, but I'll take that 10% that I would have given God, and I'll begin to start paying down my debt, and eventually I'll get in a position where I can be generous and start giving to God. And God is saying, don't go there. The first 10 begins with me. I'm going to say this again this morning, like I said last week. You know what? You may be here for the very first Sunday, and you're thinking, I knew it. The one Sunday I come, you know, the pastor wants my money. He's all about money. We don't talk about money very often in this church. But when we talk about it, it's only because we want God to bless your life. And there are people, most of the people in this church don't give. But they will never get a letter from our financial department saying, we know how much you make and this is how much you owe. If you went to the Mormon church, they would know exactly how much you make. And if you want to stay in good standing with the church, you will be paid up before the end of the year. We're not about money. We're about ministry. And if you don't give a dime, guess what? We're going to love you just as much today as if you started tithing tomorrow. And that's the way God is. But God so much wants to bless your life. It's crazy to think about tithing and getting out of debt at the same time. But it's crazy to continue to live in debt and be worried about how the bills are going to be paid, and the debt continues to climb and you just continue to spend. Both decisions are crazy. But God wants to bless His crazy. When our kids were young, well, they still think this today. You know, Susan and I, we like to be affectionate with each other, and we've always liked to kiss in front of our kids. And they would look at us and, oh, gross! You know, and we would say, well, one of these days you're going to meet somebody of the opposite sex and you're going to want to kiss them. And they're thinking, oh, no way, I'll never do that. But I want you to know, as we're talking about finances, just as it's really good to be able to kiss my wife and enjoy that part of that relationship with her, this idea of finances and doing it God's way, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I can't do that. There's no way. On the other side, it's pretty good. And God wants you to experience that. And if you will just have focused attention, interest, over time, multiplied by God's power, God's going to build motivation and discipline and energy in your life to finish the job. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your principles. God, you know the bondage that people find themselves in this morning. And the amazing thing is, you can't love them any more than you already do. And you want to set them free. Father, I thank you for the freedom that there is in Jesus. The freedom of our salvation. The freedom from fear of death. The freedom to be able to give generously, to bless others, to be used by you. God, we want that. There's not a person in this room that doesn't want to be generous. For so many, they can't because they're broke. God, may they choose to do it your way.